C-minus 45. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado.
Happy birthday, son, Mr. Bird said as he shook Dan's hand at the front door. I got you a little something.
Dan took the gift and invited Mr. Bird inside. It had been a disappointingly low-key day for Dan so far, not in terms of it being his birthday, which was something he'd never gotten particularly excited about, but more so because nothing related to the messengers had happened all day, just as nothing had happened overnight. Dan had been quietly glad to see the growing protests against the GSC's lies and inaction in various major cities, but the birthday present he really wanted was another message or sign. So far, he had received an aquarium ornament from Clark, in the shape of a little green man. Within an hour of being unwrapped, it was already in there with Skid and the rest of Dan's easily pleased fish. Henry, meanwhile, had gone for the simple option of a $30 gift certificate for man-sized clothing. It was the gift card variant that had Dan's face on it, along with the words, I shop at man-sized clothing and so should you. Henry laughed heartily when Dan opened it, and Dan saw the funny side while reminding Henry that the embarrassing commercials he reluctantly shot a year earlier had paid for the wheelchair ramps, widened doorways, and other modifications that allowed Henry to stay at home. Tara came over from next door in the afternoon with a handmade card apologizing for her lack of a gift and explaining that she only knew it was Dan's birthday because it said so on TV. She stayed for just a few minutes, during which time she asked if Dan had been okay since his late-night walk on Saturday, and then whether he knew that Emma was now going to arrive home very late the next night, having decided, along with Timo, to cut their Italian stay short. I've not looked at my phone today, but I think Clark said something about that earlier, Dan had replied, keen to avoid getting into any discussions about why Emma might not be talking to him. Clark got the feeling that Tara was keen to hang around, but Dan's lack of engagement, which Clark assumed was born of his reluctance to risk saying the wrong thing, suggested that he either failed to pick up the same vibe or chose to ignore it. Either way, it ensured that she didn't stay for long. Now, meanwhile, as Dan got round to unwrapping the gifts from Mr. Bird, his eyes fell upon a remote-controlled drone modeled after the sphere raised from the ocean near Miramar. The very sphere which had contained the two supposedly alien plaques that caused so much fear until the third was found in Salzburg and provided calming context. The toy sphere, which had been a top seller during the previous Christmas season, functioned like a basic drone with the workings hidden inside a lightweight sphere-shaped exterior. Ads still ran for the toy every day, often showing it flying out of bodies of water above a tiny written warning that it wasn't actually waterproof. Thanks, Dan said. It was the thought that counted.
No problem, Mr. Bird replied, reaching into his pocket. And before I forget, Phil sent this.
For the first time all day, Dan's eyes lit up when he saw what was inside the envelope.
It's my check, he beamed, holding it out for Clark and Henry to see. The $85 check for the first article I ever sold. Remember when I had to cash it last year to buy the stuff Trey picked up to help me translate the letter? Phil must have hung on to it for all that time.
He's a good man, Henry said.
No one disagreed out loud, but Clark was still less than pleased that Phil had revoked his meal card and hit him with a newspaper for trying to use the card to get a free meal for someone who needed it. Phil had told Henry, who unsurprisingly sided with him over Clark, and Dan hadn't seemed to care either way on any of the several occasions Clark had complained about it since.
That reminds me, Henry continued. Man alive, she would have killed me if I'd forgotten this. Dan, Emma left something for you. It's in my room. Bird, fancy helping me bring it out here?
Dan looked at Clark, who gave an honest shrug.
Wait in the kitchen and don't look, Mr. Bird called.
The brothers followed the instruction. A minute or two later, Dan had to fight back his emotions as he stared at the large telescope in the middle of his living room. Exactly the kind he'd always spoken about with Emma, but for one reason or another, had never gotten around to buying. He walked over for a closer look and ran his hand up and down the smooth black surface of the wide optical tube. A small gift tag dangled from the focusing knob, with a picture of a cartoon spaceman on the front and a handwritten message on the back.
Aim high and enjoy the stars, Dan McCarthy. Never look down, never look back. Love, Emma. There were 5 kisses written in black, like the rest of the message, along with a large red heart.
It's perfect, Dan said. He turned to Henry. Thanks for holding on to it.
No sweat, but I don't think it's me you should be thanking. That thing is almost as wide as a beer keg, and I looked up how much it cost. The answer was, a lot.
Dan nodded. I'll call her. And Mr. Bird, thanks again for the sphere.
Enjoy, the old man laughed. Henry, are you coming to the bar?
Would you mind? Henry asked Dan.
Knock yourself out, Dan said, already on his way outside to try calling Emma.
He hadn't gotten through on his last attempt, but that had been on Saturday, just hours after he had told Timo the secret, and it had come as little surprise that she didn't want to speak to him then. He hadn't tried at all on Sunday, given how busy he knew Emma had been in New York, and throughout Monday, so far, he had been living in the faint hope that she might have called him. But while that hadn't come to pass, he was very hopeful of getting through this time. As soon as he dialed the number, he could tell by the tone that she wouldn't pick up. It was the same tone he'd run into on Saturday, the tone that told him his number was no longer on her white list.
No luck, Clark said as Dan glumly walked back inside. Henry and Mr. Bird were gone.
You could always call Timo, or maybe try for my phone?
Dan shook his head solemnly.
She doesn't want to talk to me. I'm still off her white list.
To be honest, man, I think you're still on her shit list. That was pretty rough what you did on the plane, dumping the truth on Timo like that when she had no way out. You know I'm always going to be on your side, but if anyone else did something like that to someone I cared about, I'd never forgive them.
A few hours later, well into the evening, Clark banged loudly but with futility on the thick basement door.
Come up here,
he yelled into the intercom when he realized his banging wasn't getting through. Dan hurried up the stairs and was surprised to see Tara standing at Clark's shoulder.
It's okay, her phone is on the table beside mine, Clark said. There's something we need to talk about.
Dan closed the door and stepped out of the basement.
Not down there. Dad's not here anyway.
He led the way to the couch, staring daggers at Clark for bringing Tara so close to the basement and the secrets within it.
What's going on?
Some weirdo came to my door, Emma's door, and he left this,
Tara said. She handed Dan a small box with his name and address handwritten on it in neat block capitals.
What kind of weirdo?
He asked, not overly concerned, since it now looked like a case of a birthday gift innocently delivered to the wrong address, rather than someone intentionally targeting Tara, as he had initially feared, before learning that the package was addressed to him. She shrugged.
He was on a motorcycle. He had a helmet and everything. You'll see it on the camera footage. But he didn't even knock. He just left this box on the doorstep. I heard him arriving, but he was back on the bike by the time I got to the door, so he maybe didn't hear me calling to tell him it was the wrong address. Couriers and delivery guys don't normally use motorcycles around here, do they?
It sounds weird, but they actually do, Clark replied. One delivery company, at least. Thanks for bringing this over, Tara, but it's nothing to worry about.
She sighed with relief, picking up her phone to leave.
Good. I was hoping it was just a birthday present. So many things are different around here, it's hard to keep up.
As soon as the door closed behind her, Dan began to open the box.
Why did you need me for that? He asked as he ripped the sticky tape from the package.
She wanted to talk to you, Clark said. It was easier to just call you up here than to say you were too busy. Otherwise, she might have wanted to hang around until you weren't.
Dan removed the box's lid and dropped it to the ground. Inside, he saw a torn-up piece of paper.
What the hell is that? Clark asked.
Dan immediately tipped the pieces onto the coffee table beside Clark's phone and turned them all right side up. Fortunately, there were only 9 pieces, so it took him only a few seconds to put them together. Less fortunately, the content of the handwritten message was highly disconcerting. 3 can keep a secret if 2 of them are dead.
That has to be from Walker, Clark said, right?
It better be from Walker, Dan replied, because if it's not...
Clark picked up his phone, then grabbed his car keys and coat.
Come on, man.
Seriously?
Shouldn't we tell Emma first, either via Timo or on your phone, like you said?
Emma's not here. Listen, Dan, I'm not going to sit here and let that asshole mess with your head any more than he already has. You can come with me or you can stay here, but I'm going to get some answers. Right fucking now.
Dan stood up and walked to the door.